morning, boys and girls, or afternoon or evening, depending upon when you're tuning in to the radio fishing part of Fish and Franks. And, we did this section so you could do it on your cell phone, listen anywhere. Actually, I conceived of this while sitting in a doctor's office, bored out of my mind, wishing I had something I could listen to. I said, hey, I could do a fishing show.
So, pretty smart.
Back when I was so sick back in 2010. So, bought some equipment, started a fishing show. This is it. Fishing Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and in the guest seat, in that unenviable position, Captain Mike Myers. Mike Myers. All right, there. He stopped playing guitar. Can't get that guy to quit. All right.
No guitar players, man.
Yeah. It's always that way. Okay. Let's see. Somebody said they closed trout altogether.
Yeah, we got to look that up.
No, it's from what I was told today on the show, they're closing it to fish over 20 inches. You can still keep your limit.
Now, that's...
But you can't have them over 20 inches.
This morning, there was a thing on the news one of the guys was saying. I'm checking my email right now.
They did their official meeting ended at like 8 o'clock Wednesday night to solidify everything. So you should probably have a current email that should explain everything.
All right, that's what I'm looking for. I don't see anything on here. Checking email now. Oh, there's a couple more coming in. Some jokes, a bunch of spam, some pictures from Robert, but no updates from FWC. Now, this morning on the television news, so we know it's probably not true. If you see it on TV, if one of the major networks is explaining something, we're going to say, maybe 50-50 at best. Where's Walter Cronkite when you need
no
him?
No kidding. I miss that at him.
Or
I think he died, though.
He's fishing, probably.
Who was the guy with, and now the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Remember him? Matt?
I think he died, too.
Yeah, because now when you listen to the news, all they do is go on social media and look stuff up, you know.
90% fake.
Yeah, they go on there and they actually think what they see on social media is real enough to put on TV. So the rumor is they closed trout altogether. That was the rumor on network TV tonight. According to the emails that I have, according to the websites and stuff like that we looked at, all it is you're no longer, you were able to keep four trout before. Mm-hmm. Three of them had to be between 15 and 20.
Right.
And one could be over 20.
Correct.
Now, according to what we all know, you can still keep your trout, but you can no longer exceed the 20 limit. So they have to be more than 15 and less than 20 in order to keep them.
Correct. Now, that's what the resident brain over at the Waterline said this morning. So that's where I got my information.
Yeah, Josh Olive was talking about it, and I've been looking it up, and that's what we found.
Yeah.
But now, according to the morning news on network TV, they're going to stop all trout fishing.
Total moratorium. Nope. I don't think so. I mean, it could have changed in the last hour, because God knows those guys like to change their minds, but usually not that quick. Usually.
No, well, not usually.
They usually bow to social media pressure. It's like dealing with the FBI, the Department of Justice, any of the rest of them. You got so many hardworking people out there doing the best they can, the officers from FWC. And then you got a bunch of people running it who literally, I would say at least half of them got their job because there's so-and-so's friend or brother-in-law or nephew who really was kind of bored and needed something to do. And so they got appointed to head the Marine Fisheries.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is how we want these people put in place.
Yeah. It's worked so far, right? Oh, wait, no, it hasn't. Never mind.
Well, you always want to believe that FWC is beyond all of the pressures from different groups and stuff. And then you see what they did with the manatee issue, all the misrepresentations. Now you see what they're misrepresenting, the red tide and the dead fish and the live fish and all this. And it's just simply pressure from groups.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you get enough people complaining about something, somebody has to do something to shut them up, because the social media pressures today rule the world almost. It's absolutely stupid.
The only government decision I was ever really proud of is I was working in Munich over in Germany, and there was this big thing. All these people would move into the Munich area, into Bavaria, and they buy these houses, condos and stuff, and they started complaining about the noise from the beer gardens. Oh, they're making too much noise, I can't sleep, blah, blah, blah. And finally, after about a year, the city of Munich came up with a ruling in, you know, the Bavaria area, that said, the beer gardens were here. You moved here,
right?
And the beer garden was here when you moved here. So, if you don't like the beer gardens, move, right. Leave.
That makes sense to me.
You were not... You moved here and you want everything to change because you showed up. Well, if you don't like it, why did you move here?
Right.
And if you don't like it once you moved here, why are you staying? Go away.
Yep.
And that was the official ruling from the Munich government. I was like, oh my God, why aren't they running Florida?
Right.
You know, but I'm sure by now most of them are gone and we don't want them, because I've seen the decisions they're making lately. I'm very happy with our, you know, semi-weird. All right, but anyway, to the fishing.
I can't find it on the internet because I'm dumb. I was trying to find the regulation on the FWC website.
Yeah, have you tried? Robert, I can see, and I cannot find crap on the FWC website.
It's government websites. That's not surprising.
Second lowest bidder gets to do it.
Yep.
So what part of the American system is not stupid? It should be the middle bidder, not the second to lowest bidder. Well, those guys are doing it just, well, hell, maybe if I can get in and make a couple of bucks, but they're not that serious. The top end bidder, the low end bidder, pick the guy in the middle, not at the second to lowest bidder.
Yeah. I don't know why that brought up in my mind, but I had a lady call me this week to do a trip. She got mad at me when I told her what I charged, and that another guy told her that he could do it for, I think he said, 6 hours for $200.
Oh, I know.
And I told her, well, go ahead and go with him. I mean, that's the lowest bidder. That's fair commerce, right?
Right.
I guess. But you get what you pay for.
Well,
same
even
with
if
you're thinking there, you
but
get what you pay for, government.
Everybody can have that lucky every once in a while shot and have a good day, but consistency, and what always happens is they end up out of business because outboards now are $14,000. Boat insurance is a couple grand a year.
Yep.
I mean, commercial boat insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Not the one you pay for from, you know, one of these TV, you know, sicko insurance companies.
Yeah.
But from the actual commercial insurance you have to have. And the maintenance, the upkeep, this and that. I mean, it costs, on average, to keep a boat running doing charters, $100-$150 a trip.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, with your bait tackle license, oh yeah, easily.
Insurance, maintenance, yeah. Motor blowing up, because I usually figure it costs about $25 an hour just to look at an outboard on the back of the boat.
Pretty much.
I mean, forget putting gas in it or maintenance. From the time you buy it till the time it blows up and you have to replace it, you balance out the hours, you got about $25 an hour just to see it there.
Well, I always figured that's why they make them so pretty. That way you can at least have something visual to look at while you're watching all your money go out the window.
Yep. So, anyway, I don't even remember where we're at. Peace River, I guess.
Peace River.
Okay. I hear stories.
Lots of tarpon up there. Lots of juvenile tarpon from 5 to 50 pounds. Shell Creek. Navigator north. Well, power lines north above the Navigator. Just got to find that nice little nut of them because they are concentrated. And they're catching them on bait busters, Rapala, X-Wraps, jerk baits, paddle tails. I mean, just about anything. You just got to kind of throw everything in your arsenal at them, but they are hitting fairly consistently.
Decent size? I haven't been up that way in years.
No, 10 to 50 pounders.
Oh.
Most of them are 10 to 20 pounders.
The ones that are worth catching.
Still fun size.
Yeah, the ones that you really, really enjoy.
Yeah.
Because if you get a 40, 50-pound tarpon, they go that super launch up in the air, they fight, they don't kick the crap out of you.
Right.
And you have all the excitement and everything else without the sore muscles and the aching and all that. It's, I was up there with Sean from AFW, and he hooked one right off the bat and lost it, and then all we caught was catfish. Then we said, okay, we're moving.
Yep. Sounds about my luck with fishing.
And what was weird is I threw crabs, I threw shrimp, we threw all this other stuff, and it was simply a matter of he was in the right spot, right time, opened and closed its mouth and got it, because we had four other lines out, and we sat there, catfish, catfish. Now, these are some of the bigger catfish. I mean, these are, most people, if they saw them, would say 20, 30-pound catfish. Right. The reality is they're very hollow, so they were probably about 6-pounders. That's big catfish.
Yeah, it is. Very quality size.
And they're a blast because neither Sean or his wife knew the feel, the bump, 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 bump on the rod, so they don't know what they got. They're bringing them in. They're all excited. I'm watching the rod tip, and I see it bouncing a lot, so I go over, grab the catfish gripper and the pliers, and, you know, pop them off. They had a ball. They didn't know they're not fun to catch.
It's funny because I get a lot of clients from up north, and they catch catfish with me all the time. Until I tell them that they're not really that great of eating, they've had an absolute blast with that fish until it. But you get your guys that live here on your boat, and they're like, oh my God, it's so stupid. And until they see it. They have a blast until they see it, and then they see it, and it's a stupid catfish. And
catfish is like the most amazing thing out there because it hits, the guys get all excited, the rod's all doubled over, they're fighting, everything's going good. And then they get up by the boat. Oh, it's a catfish. Yeah. 2 seconds before that, their adrenaline's going. They're into it.
Yep. Yeah, well. Same thing with a yellowtail jack. I mean,
is there anything up the river besides
a lot of little snook and a few bigger snook? You know, it's a good barrage of sizes. And then there's been a handful of small redfish also up there around all the islands. No real big size redfish, but at least it kind of shows that little bit of future brood stock, like you've been saying for the last couple of years, contradicting everybody else just to prove them wrong, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hearing of a lot of that 12, 14, 15 inch redfish up there.
Well, the problem is all these social media idiots, you know, the captain's for this and the captain's for that and the save the this and the save the that and the conservation, I'm going to save the world people. They can't remember past 2 Facebook posts ago. I can remember longer than that. My memory goes back, well, I can remember much better years ago than I can remember 5 minutes ago. But I'm just the opposite of these guys. But I remember the little red tides. This last red tide was not the problem with the redfish or the snook or the trout or anything else. What, a few years ago, we had little tiny red tides that killed millions and millions of little tiny redfish fry because they hatched out into a very mild red tide.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all dead. Well, you couldn't see them, and if you can't take a picture of it, it's actually not real.
Right.
So, you know, we saw the redfish populations declining until we had 2 years without those October, November red tides, the ones you never hear about, because it really wasn't a lot of dead fish. It was just a little bit of dead fish. But there was, in reality, there was millions upon millions of dead fish. But they were a 16th of an inch long when they died.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And nobody cares about a 16th of an inch long fish. It's got to be 40 inches before we care about it.
Right.
So now I'm right. The world's wrong. That's what happened. We got a ton of redfish going to be around for the next year or two.
Yeah, but they'll take all the credit for it, for releasing those 5,000 fish.
Yeah.
That was us that did all that.
Which, what, 4 of those are actually going to survive after everything else eats them and the birds get them?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Well, you know, I know we're ranting too much. We need to get to the fishing report. But, Robert, how long have we been saying those old redfish that they released here years ago are probably accounting for the 30-some inch redfish that we catch all year now? Because when they're released into an area, it's not like they're born there, so they don't really have that homing instinct to leave and come back.
Right.
And we've seen more and more big redfish year-round in this area. Every year we have these massive redfish that are here all year. And we think those are the redfish or the descendants of the stocked redfish that were here. Because if they released, what, 5,000-10,000 redfish here?
Something like that.
Yeah, the last one, I think it was 16,000 is what they were going to release.
Not just in Charlotte Harbor, but though.
No, that was spread out. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There was either 5 or 7. I can't remember.
It's like 7,000 redfish. Okay, 15-20% of those died from just being put in the water. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose at least that much. And then you're going to lose half of those to, you know,
predation.
Yeah. Other fish eating them, getting, you know, eaten. So now we're down to 1,000 or so, which is a nice number. But what's going to happen is, out of those, they may not join the pelagic redfish, which in some ways may be a very cool thing, because they're not native to here and they were just dumped here. They really don't know they're supposed to come and go.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about it a lot, because I was kind of like, okay, it's nice that they're doing it. Is it going to be the, oh my God, that they think it is? I didn't think so. But then going back to the conversations Robert and I have had over the last 4 or 5 years, this may be a lot better thing than what we think it is. Because out of those 1,000, maybe half of those will go through the slot limit. So now we're going to have 200 to 200 redfish that don't leave, that have babies here that don't leave.
It would be really cool to have a breeding stock inside of Tampa Bay and that, Charlotte Harbor.
That actually live here, that don't leave with all the rest of the redfish. Because all of the redfish that are natural here leave. They only grow up here. So no matter what we do to protect them, they got to go and make it through the Carolinas and Louisiana, and they're everywhere.
Yeah,
they don't actually live here. What's that?
They got to survive the open ocean.
Yeah, they got to go out and survive in, you know, a very harsh reality. But if Robert and I were right, and these old, the year-round big redfish we have are descendants and or the old fish from the ones they stocked here, this could actually work out to be a lot better than I thought.
Yeah.
Could.
Not for the reasons they think, but just because of my warped mind and the way it works, I'm thinking there could be a side result that in 3 or 4 years we could have an actual resident population of redfish.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be really cool.
Especially if you make it over 30 inches, that way nobody can harvest them. You know, make it over that 28 inch mark. Yeah, that could definitely make out be very good for our economy here. Mm-hmm. The harbors.
Sorry, boys and girls, we've been ranting. We will get to the fishing report. We're at 18 minutes in. We've done one report. I'm sorry about that.
You know, it's funny, right, though, the vast majority of people have no idea that the redfish that they're harvesting are juvenile redfish. They really don't realize that. They're not even teenagers, basically. The breeders don't become breeders until they're over 28 inches and usually 30-ish. And then they all live offshore. I mean, that's why you don't see 50-pound redfish in the harbor.
I think they'll spawn in those mid-20-inch range.
I think it's 25 to 27 inches about where they start to become mature.
Yeah. I've caught some with roe and eggs in them, and they were in the slot.
Yeah.
But every fish is different. If you look at the three of us, we're different heights, right, different weights, and fish are a lot like that. And I know that for a fact because we use goldfish as the canary in the coal mine for my freshwater shiner tanks. And there's some in there that are just massive, and other ones that are literally a quarter the size of that. They all grow at different rates, and it's just up to the individual fish, how aggressive they are feeding, right, what they're going to do, and all that. So that some would spawn in the 20-inch and some wait into the 30-inch. Same with people, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, boat ramp, I-75.
Honestly, I haven't had anything there this week.
You know anything, Mike?
No, I haven't heard anything about that area. That's too far upriver for me.
At least you're upriver.
Hey, right?
Jeez.
All right, 41 Bridge.
There's been some juvenile tarpon there at night, some snook, been a handful of trout during the daytime, some mangrove snapper, sheep's head, and black drum right under the bridge around the pilings, and even over towards the power lines. You know, it's been sporadic, so if one piling isn't working for you, move to the next one over.
To your point, Robert, one of the things that you complain about a lot, and guys who have a boat and you're fishing from the pier, because you fished from a lot of the piers in the county.
Absolutely.
You were a big pier fisherman for many years, and all of a sudden you're fishing from the pier, and some idiot with a boat pulls up and starts fishing there.
Oh, I've had it happen to me multiple times.
And I'm driving over the bridge, coming back from Punta Gorda last night. I look over, and they have those new piers at the north end of the dock. Mm-hmm. And those new piers are right there. And in my head, I'm looking. There's a guy anchored like 15 feet off the end of that pier.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what the heck would... Why would he even consider that? That's just lunacy. And then I got to thinking, in some guy's mind... Well, they built a fishing pier here. It must be really good fishing right there. Yep. So I'm going to go anchor right at the end of that dock so I can take advantage of this really good fishing. Because why else would they put a fishing pier there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Is there... What else would be the logic?
There is no other logic.
I mean, I was literally astounded. I'm looking over. The guy wasn't 15 feet sideways. I mean, you have the end of the pier, and he was literally... anchored not lengthways from it but sideways from it, fishing both sides of that. I was like,
jeez,
are you kidding me? Out of all the places in the world, if he would have been out a ways and casting under the dock,
mm-hmm.
I would have got it, because going and fishing underneath the docks, that's what fishermen do.
Yeah.
But he was literally anchored on the end of it, fishing out. Nice. Like he was standing on the yeah. pier, but he was standing on his boat. They were literally anchored 15 feet in front of it, fishing out away from it.
He was able to get that extra distance out of his cast that he couldn't get from the pier.
Like, was that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. If I put a heavy enough sinker on there, I'll be able to cast farther. Oh, no, I'm in a boat. I can just go out just that little bit further and get right? that extra little bit of feet.
I was just... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty
what
silly.
What were they thinking? All right, Lashley Pier...
I've heard of a few snook there at night. There's been a few black drum during the daytime with a handful of trout and a couple of sheep's head. And that's pretty much about it. It's been at least it's picking up a little bit.
Okay. I've had to really pay more attention to my spelling ever since
You know what, though? I had a customer call me yesterday in regards to that. He's in Michigan, I think he was. And he said, I just wanted to tell you thank you for how much you guys bust your butt on your website. And I enjoy thoroughly listening to the podcast. And I've heard Frank talk about apologizing for his spelling because people have given him a hard time about this, that, or the other thing with his spelling and punctuation of stuff. He says, you know what? You tell those guys that have that issue to go somewhere else and try to find that kind of free, valuable information. If they've got a problem where they want to nitpick that stuff, you don't need them. He said it's free, valuable information. Forget the punctuation. Forget all the other stuff. He said it's amazing. He says, I've looked everywhere on websites trying to find any kind of information when I go to a new area. And your guys' website is all I look forward to. Your podcast is all I look forward to when I know I'm coming to Southwest Florida. So quit picking on yourself, Frank. That was pretty much his gist of it. It was pretty cool.
And I appreciate that. We love you guys in Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota and Pennsylvania and Ohio, all the places, and the wonderful Canadians who tune into our show, and people in Colorado sitting in the snowplow at night when they can listen to it and all that. Yeah, I can't change, guys. I mean, I can apologize for being who I am, but... I'm 60-some years old, and it's just way too late for me to fix these problems. You know, it's just the way it is. Bayshore Pier.
Got nothing. Crickets.
I don't know why, but that has got me so intrigued on that wall right there that I want that for my wife.
Oh, you're talking about Woody?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
The only bobber in the world that gets as excited as you when you catch a fish.
That is hilarious.
When the fish bites... Woody goes Woody.
Oh my God! Are they still in business? Or is
I got a whole box of them up there.
Do you really? I got to buy one.
I bought.
My wife would like that. Stacy would. I got to put one of those on for Stacy and take her out.
When they came out and they weren't a hit because it's rather risque. It's old 60s, 70s humor where people had a sense of humor. Little Cleo,
right?
The best wiggle in the water was on the back of a spoon. And it wasn't until the 90s when everybody became prima donnas oh my God, oh, this, you know, oh,
yeah.
Oh God, I love the sense of humor from back when I was young. And that's it. Woody just kind of pops up and comes alive when you catch fish.
That's priceless right there. I love that.
So, yeah, I got a case of those left. I bought it when I saw them. I bought, I think, 2 cases. I got them down to a little less than a case.
Oh. Well, don't let me leave here today without one of those. That is, oh my God. I might even have to save it till Christmas just to give it to her, because you know Stacy, she got a sicker mind than I do. So that would
oh, she's wonderful. Oh, yeah. Your wife is amazing. So anyway, Bayshore Pier.
Christmas ornament.
Yeah, yeah.
Crickets.
And we bet. I'm going to hang one from the ceiling in the shop with a little pull chain on it.
There you go.
There you go. So, and then I figure if it's up above the ceiling, kids won't really notice it.
Nah.
I mean, I just don't see how that's going to ruin anybody's life.
It's not.
Okay, Bayshore Pier. You got anything, Mike?
Bayshore Pier, no.
Okay.
Until you get down to the actual...
the lower the river.
Well, we got to start. We got a little bit of something for everybody here. And if I would just learn to shut up and keep the show rolling. All right, Port Charlotte Canal Systems.
They're finally starting to pick up just a little bit, but the canals are still one really good, one really mediocre. Jacks, some really nice-sized jacks cruising through the canals. Snook started to pick up this week on a lot of the canals. Guys are catching both those trolling and just blind casting, and the top water bite on the jacks and the snook have been really, really good. The mangrove snapper bites picked up a little bit, some juvenile and big black drum scattered around, and juvenile tarpon kind of hodgepodged everywhere, especially Spring Lake, but I'm hearing reports of them in canals that I don't even know where they're at, to be honest with you. So that's always kind of a nice little thing, a little treat.
I seen Captain Carl post some of those jacks, and Steve out here post some of them jacks. And let me tell you, folks, if you think jack is a junk fish, you're not a fisherman. Because that's one of the baddest dudes out there. I don't care what nobody says. I've never had a person on my boat catch a jack and just not think it was the best bite they ever had for the size of the fish. So,
and what we do is the biggest thing is, and Robert and I have been saying this for decades, is if someone would
that's
teach
a terrifying thought,
isn't it?
Decades.
Decades.
Yeah. Not you're decade, buddy. But decades we've been talking about this. 20 years we've been talking about this. That's terrifying.
If a jack would learn to tail walk across the surface, it'd be the most protected game fish in history.
Yeah.
End of story.
Well, they would have put a moratorium on them 20 years ago if they were edible. And they are edible, but I'm just saying
they're
like
a delicacy
super
in every country except Florida.
Right.
Even other states like them. It is the number one best smoked fish on the planet. Nothing better than Jacquerel. Okay, Eljabeen Pier.
Eljabeen's been doing okay. The sheep's head bite has been not great, but they're quality size fish. There's been some jacks and tarpon cruising the bridge pilings themselves. A lot of small mangrove snapper, a handful of snook. Been a couple of redfish and a couple of small black drum being caught off of there also. So it's just a little mixed bag over there.
I even heard, I don't remember where I heard it, but there was some mackerel up there too. Some bizarre little run of mackerel up there for a day or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. No,
there's mackerel, there's permit, there's pompano, there's all kinds of stuff around the harbor. I mean, we get later, I'm going to explain it, but as long as I remember by the time we get to it. Micah River System, the cutoff, Tippy Canoe, anything like that?
Honestly, no, because the Micah cutoff's been pretty shallow because of this full moon.
Mike? Yeah, there's no water back there for anything to, no boat to get to at least, or no one to, you have to wade to it if you ever even could try to. There's a little trough inside the cut there, but there's no way you could get to it by boat.
No, canoe, kayak, or an airboat.
I was contacted from the people from Expedition Unknown. That guy Josh, his producers contacted me to help him go out and look for pirate memorabilia, so to speak, or locations and all that. And so I've got to drag out my little skiff because it'll run shallow enough to get to some of the areas they're talking about. But getting in and out of the Micah Cutoff is one thing I got that little boat for.
Right.
And because there's some awesome fishing, and the lower the water, the easier it is to fish the cutoff.
Right.
Because if it's real shallow, there's no fish there. Mm-hmm. They're going to sit in the holes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of fish back there. Trump problem is, you can't wade in there because you'll sink up to your knees, yep, up to your crotch in the muck.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but I gotta get that little boat running to help the TV show guy out. I just talking to the producers, guy's name is Jack, and amazing guy. And I keep asking him, I said, how'd you get to be so cool, man? You live in LA, right? You know, I'm sorry, man, I just don't associate LA and really cool people. But so South Gulf Cove, the canals,
Darryl,
awesome,
pretty hip.
Awesome, really cool group out there at the Homeowners Association and their fishing club and all that. They got a women's tournament coming up. I gotta tell you, that is some amazing people living out there in South Gulf Cove. It's a very hidden area, but I got to meet 60 or 70 of them the other night, and I was supposed to talk for about 40 minutes, and I went on for about 2 hours. But yeah, imagine me talking too much. But I just wanted to take a shout out to the people in South Gulf Cove. Amazing group of folks. Really enjoyed being there. They've got a women's tournament coming up in March, so that's another place, Robert, you and I are going to go and do a little exploration on the boat. We got to get in there and check it out, find some of the good fishing spots and everything. We're okay. We really got to put some effort into South Gulf Cove. I really, really enjoyed being with those folks, and I want to step up the game on this.
Okay.
When I was trailering years ago, I put in over at the bait shop over there, and I would fish South Gulf Cove.
What's
all
the name?
The time.
What's the name of that? The guys who sell the bait by the boat ramp in Englewood.
By the boat ramp in Englewood?
No, not in Elgin. Yeah, in Elgin.
Port-A-Call.
Port-A-Call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice folks there at Port-A-Call. Are mm-hmm. they still selling bait there?
Yeah,
I believe
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think so. But if you're in Elgin, there's a little place called Port-A-Call there. Mm-hmm. It's right by the boat dealership and by the boat ramp. Nice folks over there at that bait shop. Really yeah. cool. You stop in there, get some bait, you can launch there and fish this whole area, tippy canoe and all that.
Yeah.
The ramp's a bit steep, but yeah. 99% of the people can do it, but just go slow, take your time, and you'll be fine.
Yep. And you can run straight across over to Gulf Cove area and go through the lock system. You catch bass and redfish on the same, on two different casts.
Yeah.
If I was going to do that, I would put in at the Butterford ramp. And they got a ramp right there, and that way if you were looking at the water, you go right or west, and you're mm-hmm. going to go to freshwater. If you go to the left, you're going to go to saltwater.
I've never been to that boat ramp.
Yeah, I would. It's too far from Elgin. You got to go through the locks, yeah. all that kind of stuff. But if you put in there at the Butterford, you can go right up there and go bass fishing, and there's snook and bass and everything all together right there.
Yep. It's right there in Gulf Cove.
See, I just like the lock because you get to push the button and I don't know.
When it works.
Sometimes you push the button and stare at it.
To me, I would really, if I live there, I wouldn't want the lock there. And those folks yeah. really want the lock. And I guess it's because that way the water doesn't go up and down. They're not yeah. affected by the tide so right. much. And so when they put their boat on the dock, it's there all the time. Mm-hmm. Now me, if the locks were open, you look at Burnt Store Isles. In Burnt Store Isles, they have some of the most amazing fishing back there. It took 3 or 4 years once they took the lock out, but within 2 years, they started having a lot of fish. The third and fourth year, it is amazing fishing back there. It's like as good as PGI and better
wow.
because they took the lock out. And that whole area there in South Gulf Cove would just load up with fish.
Yeah.
But it would kind of eliminate that fresh water on the back end of it too, though. So a lot of consequences, good and bad. But they really want to keep the locks there because that's the way it is.
I think it keeps a lot of people out, so it's almost like a closed community that fishes in there, because not very many people go in there from outside.
But most people don't ever see it. It's right. so hidden. So it is better for the protection of South Gulf Cove. You know, nobody's going to be that back there ripping off your boats.
Right.
But we got nothing back there, so we'll go on to the next one. Sorry about that. Ranting a lot today. I'm sorry.
It's Mike. He does that.
I do that to people.
We'll blame him.
Okay, right. The west wall.
Good thing I got big shoulders.
Lots of snook and redfish along the bushes. The topwater bite over there has been really incredible. Even in the flat out middle of the day, as bright and sunny as it's been, a lot of guys are throwing topwaters over there and having a good time. There's been a few trout on the outside edge of the bar, along with a few pompano slash permit. And there also has been a handful of cobia cruising across the bar and sporadic patches of bonnethead sharks. So kind of a good mixed bag of stuff. You know, it's been perking up a lot, and the water is super clear over there from what I've been hearing from several different people. So you can even do a little bit of sight fishing if you're stealthy enough and setting up a nice drift or using your trolling motor on low. It's been pretty good.
I know Cat Meddy over here at the marina with me, he's fishing that area, and he's been putting up some pretty good numbers. So yeah. I haven't been up that way myself. I've fished Turtle Bay a little bit, and that's about it.
Yeah. No, it's been really impressive to hear the mixed reports from people that are actually a little bit more positive. And the cool thing about the West Wall is it seems like people are a little bit more productive there because it's such a straight shot along that. You know, it's literally a wall. So those guys aren't as apprehensive about moving as much versus when they're over on the east side, they fish that one key that's always their favorite spot, or that one little creek cutoff that's always their favorite spot. That west wall, they seem to actually treat it more like bass fishing and move a lot more, so they tend to be a lot more productive over there.
I call it trolling motor friendly.
Yeah.
It's like a straight shot. You can fish the bushes and then turn around and fish out. All and without ever even touching the button on your trolling motor.
Yeah,
it's just a very simple place to fish.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I like it. It's fun over there. Plus, you get the occasional hog that walks out on the chest high water for them. And
I wish I had my 44 so I could miss them.
Yeah, right. nice point.
Right.
Jeez. Oh, well.
But yeah, and that's a great place to do a lot of topwater fishing. It's kind of protected most of the time, depends on which way the wind's blowing, but most of the time it's got water that you can top water plug on.
Yeah.
And it's shallow enough, even when it's high tide, you can get them to bust on it.
The trick to it is, if you're going to take your boat over to fish the west side, as you're coming up, there's a sandbar between you and the mangroves. Once you see your depth finder hit 4 feet, start slowing down. When you see it hit 3 feet, go to dead slow idle. And then idle across the bar and up to the mangroves. If you're not familiar with that side and where you're crossing, it's very easy to go aground. So if you do it slowly, no harm, no foul. If you do it at, you know, 30 miles an hour, it's you know. So, but it's a lot of fun to fish there. I named it the West Wall because it did look like a wall. Yeah. It was on the west side of the harbor. It looked like a wall to me on the charts. When I went there, it looked like a big, long wall of mangroves. So that's why I named it the West Wall. Yeah. And, you know, it's just funny how they stuck.
Yeah.
So, Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes has got quite a few bonnet heads scattered all over on the flat there, and a handful of trout, then a couple of flounder, few pompano / permit, and then as you work your way closer towards the trough right there between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay, there's been quite a few snook, handful of good oversized redfish, and just barely in the slot redfish. So it's been pretty decent over there. Once again, still a lot of good clarity. Been hearing a couple reports of some ladyfish. A couple guys have been seeing a few Spanish mackerel on the outside edge on both sides, you know. So there's a good hodgepodge of fish throughout that whole area.
Monster schools of fish there last night. Amazing school. Not in Turtle Bay, just kind of where it started to go into the Cape Hayes, kind of between the Turtle Bay and Cape Hayes by the bird crap sticks.
Right.
But we were several hundred yards over towards Cape Hayes. So we come through, and I mean, the entire flat was blowing up with fish.
Nice.
And Terry cast it into there. We were, Carl and the guys from the TV show and all that. And I said, he said, we got to go. I said, we got enough time for my wife to catch fish.
Right.
He's like, I said, we have enough time for my wife to catch fish.
Yep.
You know, I'm sorry, guys. You know, you know, it's the way I am.
Yeah.
So Carl whips out a shrimp out there, threw out a white bait. Tore the shrimp in half on the first one, and she caught a fish on the second one, both of them with shrimp.
Yep.
And it was funny, I would have thought the white bait with the water getting warmer would have blasted that, but it was still a shrimp bite. That was surprising to me. But nice size trout, I would say 16-17 inches anyways. and we watched, but it almost looks like a mixture of fish between the trout and the jacks, and I don't know what all else was in there, but different types of stuff blowing up. You could see the big swirl boosh of the jacks. You could see fish swiping the surface. Looks more like ladyfish or trout. And there was like three or four distinct type fish hitting. I was really like, cool. Wow. So, yeah. And it was bait under bobbers is what we were using, shrimp and white bait, but did better on the shrimp.
Nice.
I was surprised. So anyway, getting into Bull and Turtle Bay.
Ah. I know you've been fishing this a lot.
There's the river part I know.
Yeah, there's the river you know.
Turtle Bay, I was doing pretty well. It's a weird bite in there for me. I've been doing my afternoon trips back in there because I've been doing sharks all morning and then doing the backcountry, you know, in the afternoon when I have enough water to get my boat back in there. And shrimp under a popping cork. And the only thing that I was finding was that I would get onto a spot that I like, we'd throw the shrimp out there, pop a few times, they'd catch 5, 6, 7 trout. No monster trout, but it was consistent, and then all of a sudden the catfish would come in. And then it was over, just catfish after catfish. Then I would move 50, 75, 100 yards and fish another spot that I like, and then 4, 5, 6, 7 trout, and then boom, catfish. It just seemed that way the two afternoon trips that I did this week. There were trout. Like, again, I don't know if we caught, I probably caught 40 trout altogether in two trips, and maybe two keepers out of that. So it wasn't like there was stud trout in there by any means. But at least it was a consistent bite.
Yeah, I think we just lucked into a nice trout. I mean, it was bigger than I thought we were going to catch, because listening to all the reports, oh, there's no trout, there's no big trout, and the first fish we caught was a really nice one. Yeah. Anything else in Bull Bay?
A lot of snook and redfish scattered throughout the whole place, along with some ladyfish in the center, mixed in with some smaller trout, and then some sheep's head and mangrove snapper underneath the shacks and underneath those boats way in the back corner of Bull Bay.
Yeah, okay. The shacks actually have quite a few sheep's head under them still, which is surprising.
Well, the great part is those guys that fish it, they either know what they're doing or not at all, so it's kind of one extreme to the other, so those sheep's head don't get beat up as bad.
Yeah, and they're big. They're, yeah. The ones I've been catching out there, we're talking 18 to 20 inches, some of them. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I think most of the people that fish the shacks are after the redfish and the snook.
It surprised me how many of the houseboats are sunk.
Yeah.
How many boats there are literally underwater? I mean, they're sitting on the bottom all over in Bull Bay out there, and there's sunk houseboats all over the place. There's boats in the mangroves. There's boats underneath trees. Well, I shouldn't be surprised I, you know, sunk my boat, but I wasn't going to leave it there, so I just brought it back up and went on about my day.
Right.
But, I mean, it was really surprising to me how many of the houseboats are sitting on the bottom.
Is that shrimp boat still inside Whidden Bay?
No, they took it out finally.
They finally got
it out? Yeah, they finally got it out.
Wow. All
right. I don't know how they got it out, but they got it out.
I was going to say, geez, that was in there good.
Oh, yeah.
Cape Hayes Reef, Danger Reef.
I've heard of a few Spanish mackerel there, a few pompano / permit, and that is it. But, like, you said the other day, there was a bunch of people sitting on it, but I just haven't had a lot of reports on it. Just the two.
Yeah. My Thursday morning trip, I couldn't go off. They didn't want to catch sharks, so I had to go do something, and I went over there, and I did really well on some Spanish mackerel. I think we ended up with about 20 of them.
You got a few Spanish mackerel
off
of it?
Yeah. Just maybe a couple hundred yards away from it. But
nice. There you go. I like that idea.
I guess Spanish is spelled
S-P-A-N-I-S-H, I think.
The S comes before the H, not after.
Okay. Right.
Hey, I'm getting it.
It's a silent S.
Right.
Spanish
mackerel.
Gasparilla Sound, behind Boca Grande, over on the flats by on the back of Turtle and all that. Whidden, catfish, whatever.
Yeah, I haven't been over by Three Sisters in a while. The docks over in Boca Grande, I have done very well for the last month on. I only went there one day this week, and we got 8 or 9 sheep's head right off the bat, and then the folks wanted something bigger, so we went and caught them a shark. But a lot of redfish, a lot of those juvenile redfish you're talking about, are sitting under those docks over there. Some black drums still. And a lot of snook. I was very amazed, but I probably put 5 or 6 snook out from under those docks. And not big snook, little snook, but just the fact that they're already under those docks is kind of strange to me this time of the year. Maybe it's just because of the heat, but eating shrimp on a jig head.
Robert and I have mused about all this because that area was so inundated with red tide.
Right.
That according to social media and the news and everything there was dead.
Yeah.
But red tide does have some effects afterwards. It does not kill shrimp, crabs, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. And they move in quite heavily to eat all the stuff that did die from the red tide.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of bait and the water after a bad red tide is actually much cleaner. So less bacteria, mm-hmm. algaes, all this kind of stuff that the red tide competes with and kills in one form or another. So to see that many fish there does not really surprise the two of us. It just surprises the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah, no. The vision there has been unbelievable.
So. Yeah, that whole stretch through there from Devilfish over towards Placida, backside mm-hmm. of Boca, Wind Creek, Catfish Creek, out on the open flats there, all doing real well with a variety of mm-hmm. stuff. Ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, snook,
yep.
redfish. I mean, you kind of pick it and you can have a good time with it. Cover some ground and you'll catch a lot more varieties and species throughout that whole area. And there's been some bait fish moving in there, both white bait that's cast nettable and a whole bunch of small fry that's in there too. So not only do you have the crabs and the shrimp that really pepped it up and kept it alive all winter long, but now you've got the bait fish moving in there a little bit that have really piqued the interest of a lot of other species of fish. A couple guys have even caught some big lizard fish drifting those flats there looking for trout there between Widden and Catfish. Had a couple guys bring in pictures of them going, what is this?
Oh.
You know, and you know, 10-inch lizard fish, which yeah. is a good size lizard fish.
I don't know why I picked this stupid habit up, but when I get ladies on the boat especially, and I catch a lizard fish, I always tell them it's a snake fish, because you know you've heard me say that a million times. I mm-hmm. like to call it a snake fish. And I always tell them it's the most venomous fish that we have in this entire ocean. And I try to show them the poison gland right inside the mouth, and I tell them if it bites you, you got like 3 minutes to get back to the dock, and then I let it bite me. Just to freak them out. And I've been doing that non-stop for like the last couple of years. I don't know why I keep doing it, but these poor ladies will scream, and it's like, I'm sorry. But their husbands think it's hilarious, and they usually do right afterwards too. I usually get hit a couple times, and
yeah,
but for some reason I pick up that dumb habit.
Somebody's gonna shove you over the boat right. in February and go, how's the water temperature?
Yeah, exactly.
So okay, kind of like the spider box on the counter.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Placida Pier, Placida Trestle.
The whole trestle system's doing fairly well. There's still a lot of sheep's head there, some mangrove snapper, handful of bonnet head sharks, some Spanish mackerel, oddball flounder, oddball pompano permit, you know, and then the Placida trestle itself is almost a mirror image of that. Mm-hmm. But the sheep's head on the Placida trestle are stacked really hard at one piling, and then it's a dead space for 20 to 40 feet, and then really stacked again at the next piling. So
how many times have we told people, don't fall in love with your spot on the pier?
Right.
Fish a piling, give it 15, 20 minutes, and then move 8 feet to the next piling.
Yep.
But they go on the pier, and they set up a mailbox. They get ready to move in. They got their lazy boy and their TV, and they're just living in that one spot all day.
Absolutely.
Makes no sense.
No.
I can't go anywhere. I'm on the pier. You can go up and down the pier.
Yeah.
You can move left and right. You don't have to. This is my spot. You know, they put up a flag and they've got guards and moats. You know, this is my place.
I'm going to stick up for these folks just because I'm a fat guy and I don't like to move a whole lot. So you stick me in one spot, I'll probably just stay there.
He's got a point.
Yeah, but if you're complaining that the fishing, I went out there and didn't catch anything all day. Well, did you try the beginning of the pier? Well, no. I said, did you move to the end of the pier? Well, no. I said, well, okay. Yeah, fishing was pretty poor out there. You know? Yeah,
right. Complain all you want.
Trying not to insult anybody. Well, I have lately a lot. God, I can't believe it. I mean, I don't know why, but we've had like 8 customers come in, and for some reason or other, they ask me a direct question about a specific thing, and I answer the question, and they say, you mean that? No, I'm talking about, in Afghanistan, but, or, you know, behind the mountain in the river. Really? I mean, we're standing there, and the guy's asking me direct questions, and I don't know if it's just some... I'm trying not to let it bother me.
Yeah.
I'm trying. You're old now. It's supposed to bother you.
But it's
where
like...
Where are they catching fish at? Here, here, and here. Well, what about here?
Yeah.
No, I don't mind that one as much as... You say, what does this lure do? And you tell them, you mean that lure?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. Yeah. I don't know why, but I've been getting aggravated with that lately, and I got to stop. I mean, I know they're trying to carry on the conversation. It's just some way for them to continue the conversation, but it's like, oh, my God. Yeah, no, I mean the thing over there.
Right.
All right. Stump Pass, Lemon Bay.
All through Lemon Bay. I mean, I've been hearing a lot of different mixed reports about you.
I've heard it's just dead. That's everybody I've talked to that... lives that way. The beach area is fine, but the actual Lemon Bay itself, I guess nobody can catch anything in there.
Really?
That's what I heard. Even the, we had, who do we have on the show this morning?
Van Hubbard.
Van Hubbard. He's like, I can't catch nothing over there.
But that's Van.
Oh.
Okay. I've known that guy a long time, and he's kind of like either on it or off of it.
I fished the docks there a couple weeks ago because... the docks where I'm at were getting hit so hard, I thought, well, I'll go try something new. And there was nobody fishing those docks, and I didn't catch a fish.
Hmm.
I mean, I thought, well, I'd catch some sheep's head and maybe some drum or something, or maybe some small redfish like I've been doing down by the Boca side, but nothing. I never even got a bite.
What are you hearing anything, Robert?
The canals. Several of the canal entrances have been doing well on snook and redfish and a handful of trout. Then a couple of flounder and pompano/permit underneath some of those docks close to the canal systems. Overall on the flats, though, haven't heard a whole lot. Mm. It's mostly been the guys coming out of the canal systems that have been fishing them pretty hard that live back in there.
Yeah, you know, not an area I've ever even looked. I never even tried their canal systems.
That's what I mean. The guys who live on those canals, they get quite a few fish in there, and nobody goes in there. They're all trying to be out in the open flat and everything else around there, and that's one of the big advantages those people around Lemon Bay have is forgotten canals. The Tom Adams Bridge or the pier?
The pier itself has been holding some snook at night, handful of juvenile tarpon, and then some... a couple of Spanish mackerel, a couple of bonnet head sharks, and a couple of sheep's head during the daytime. And then the actual bridge itself is still holding the sheep's head, a handful of trout, and then some tarpon and small to medium sized snook at night. So it's been kind of about the same consistency it's been the last several weeks.
Okay, Venice jetties.
A few Spanish mackerel moved in there this week that I heard of. And they've been picking up a few sheep's head and some mangrove snapper, but I guess it's been really sporadic because the current's been ripping through there because of that full moon going on.
Yeah, that full moon was low and strong, and man, it made the currents bad.
Yeah, the guys said it was really, really tough to fish it just because of how strong the currents were this week.
Stacy and I had dinner down there about a week and a half ago, and we walked down before we had dinner. Watching the sunset, and there was a man sitting there. He had probably 8 or 9 whiting in his bucket, which I thought was kind of strange for that area, but must not be. He's fishing on the Gulf side of it, though.
I was going to say, yeah, they catch a lot of whiting and pompano there when they come in, so that's good to hear. Were they any sizable whiting? Or
They were decent. I mean, they weren't monsters, but, I mean, for a whiting, they were definitely respectable, so.
There you go. That's not too bad. That's always a plus to hear.
Yeah.
Actually a fun little fish to fish for. If you just want to go kill time in certain areas, you can just sit there and catch good numbers of them.
They're surprisingly good eating, too.
No, they're very good eating. Yeah.
Kind of like a squirrel fish.
Nice, mild fish.
Yeah. Squirrels are the same way. People underestimate them. It's a great bait fish, but it's a good eating fish.
Guys were telling me, asked me, what is this fish? It was a squirrel fish. I said, but if you look it up in a book, it's probably a sand perch.
Yeah.
I said, but that means you're not on the reef. That means you're in the open sand because they're not going to hang out by a reef. You miss the reef by a bit. And trying to explain to these guys, if you don't have one of these new thousands of dollars depth finders that shows you the pictures and all that kind of stuff, sorry about the popping on this. I don't know what's going on with my mic today. But All you're doing is going along on some of these nearshore reefs to find a lot of this stuff. Is you've got 30 feet, 30 feet, 28 feet, 30 feet. You just passed over a structure.
Right.
It doesn't have to appear like the side of the Titanic. All you're looking for is a foot, 2 foot shallower than what you were seeing a second ago, and that was structured, that was something that would hold fish. And that's the hard thing in the Gulf of Mexico to figure out. If you're at the power poles, there's a barge and a crane, there's pipes down there, there's several things. But all you're looking for is a raised value to it, because some of them get so covered over with barnacles, oysters, all that stuff, it does not appear as like a reef. It just mm-hmm. appears as a raised spot on the bottom. Throw a buoy, drift over it, see if you catch a fish. If you catch a fish, anchor to the buoy and fish. So what's going on in the Golfito de Mexico?
A lot. Yeah, that's you know, there's basically there's plenty of mackerel out there. They're not congregated like you're going to see in the next month.
I would say plenty. I mean, there's fishable numbers, but it's like you got to be right there in that spot where they are at.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the birds, if you watch the water, you can spot them. Sometimes it's going to be jack, sometimes it's going to be the mackerel. It's not the numbers you're going to see coming up in the next few weeks, but it's definitely something you can go out there and catch some fish with. The reefs are holding some cobia. They're still holding sheep's head and
Porgies, grunts, some mangrove snapper, and if you get out there to that 12 to 20 mile mark, you start to get into the better lane snapper.
Yeah.
Along with, you know, reinforcing Mike's comment about cobia, there's been cobia spotted and caught on just about mm-hmm. every reef from 3 miles out to 30 miles out.
Yeah. There's even guys out there catching that barracuda already. So, mm-hmm. I haven't been out far. They're not in the nearshore ones, but they're on the further ones out. I haven't been able to get out that far, so.
I've heard of them in as close as 10 miles. Yeah. There were some on the power pole reef, but they were small guys, but they were still there.
Still there.
Which is
another underutilized fish that's a good eating fish. People don't realize how good eating that fish is, but delicious. Everybody's always worried about ciguatera poisoning, but.
Barracuda.
Barracuda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the ciguatera, I don't think there's been a case of ciguatera on our coast ever, has there?
I don't know. I'm sure there probably has been, but it's so remote.
Yeah.
Well, as long as they're under 30 inches, you probably won't ever have a problem. But if you get a 5-6 footer, I would, 4 footer, anything over 3 foot, I would definitely not partake of, because that fish could have been in the Keys or could have been in Cuba, could have been in areas where there is a lot of coral. We don't have a lot of that coral out here, so mm-hmm. the smaller fish, chances are from this area, and they just haven't had time to be around a lot of the coral reefs, so they're usually quite safe. Where's the red grouper?
Red grouper, like 80 to 105 feet of water. That's the best reports I've gotten.
Most of them are off past the 120 mark, and you're not allowed to fish out there for them. So,
that's the reports you're getting.
Yeah.
Anything for as far as amberjack?
They've been out there too, but they've been real spotty this week. I haven't heard a whole lot. Just a couple guys seeing them, not too many people catching them.
Yeah, I had some clients send me some pictures of some last week, but nothing this week.
Yellowtail snapper?
Yeah, they're out there at that 15 to 25 mile mark on just about every reef. You just got to chum heavy and fish for them. A lot of guys don't fish for them. They're using too heavy a lead and fishing for the snappers and the grouper on the bottom. You actually need to almost free line something out of the mm-hmm. back in the chum slick. And that's where your better chance of catching those 1 to 3 pound yellowtails have been pretty regular out there.
That little 8 ounce jig head works really good for those.
Just make sure it's a circle hook jig head.
Yeah.
We have them. We have the 1/8 ounce, 1/4 ounce, 3/8 ounce circle hook jig heads you can use on those. Anything else out there? How are the triple tail? Anybody heard?
A lot of little guys still.
I ran those traps yesterday for a good
just
6 or 7 miles. I didn't see a single keeper on any of them.
Yeah, I think all the big ones got picked off, and I think last year they really got hammered, so this year we're just seeing the little brood stack.
Yeah.
It's word got out good last year with how great it was, so this year's been a little on the funky side.
It's been sad, because I love those fish. That's one of my favorite things to go after.
So does everybody else, for that matter.
Exactly.
All right. Captiva Pass?
Captiva Pass has had quite a few sheep's head in it, a couple of small gag grouper. There's been a couple of small black-tip sharks cruising through there, and a couple of even sandbar sharks that have been caught down in there. And right inside of Captiva Pass, on the backside of Cayo Costa, guy got into a messload of silver trout and speckled trout there the other day. And he was fishing in about 6 feet of water there and some of that real deep grass.
It's funny, I have not caught a silver trout this year. Sugar trout. I haven't caught one. Normally this time of the year I catch a lot of them, but I haven't caught a single one.
Yeah.
I know they're there, I really haven't been looking for them, but usually you can catch them as bycatch.
Anybody heard of anything in Redfish Pass?
Nothing.
No.
Alright, going down to walking the beaches, anything around the beaches anywhere?
The only reports I've been getting have been literally right off the end of Boca Grande Pass. Sheep's head sporadically, pompano, slash permit, a few small sharks, bonnet head sharks, black tip sharks, and then the occasional sandbar. That's the only place I've gotten a beach report from.
You heard anything, Mike?
Nothing. Okay.
Alright, Ponderosa, Sanibel?
Got anything down in there?
The
Sanibel Causeway, I've gotten a few reports of some sheep's head, a few trout. There was a couple guys that went tarpon fishing there the other night. They saw a few fish roll, but they ended up catching about a half a dozen snook, one that was 41 inches.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice
figured
fish.
With it nice warming up, they figured they'd go give it a try and see if any of those tarpon had moved on it yet. And just a few, but nothing that they could get into.
Yeah, if this weather stays like it has, I think the tarpon's going to really... I'm hoping...
We said this
that
last year.
Did we?
We said this last year in February, because February had several days of 80-plus degree weather, and then March came in and said, hey, here's winter again for you.
Yep.
So, we'll see how that goes.
All right.
We said the Vegas Strip had snow on it the other day, so that means we're probably in for something.
Mom's house has snow a mile away.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, Superstition Mountains down the road?
Yeah.
That's completely covered in snow right now.
No kidding.
Yeah, she just texted me pictures all morning. My sister's been sending me pictures.
Wow. I can't even imagine it snowing there.
Her house is just getting rain, but the whole area around her within a couple miles is getting snowed.
That's crazy.
All right. Anything in the Clusatchee River anybody's got?
I've got nothing from down there right now.
All right.
No idea.
We're going to go Matt Lachey.
Trout. There've been some. I had one of my clients actually said he had a really good trout there. Day there on Wednesday, trying to get away from all that wind.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's been some trout down there. A handful of flounder moved in over by the Smokehouse Bay area, along with some pompano and slash permit. Still, the trout have been down there. A lot of scattered redfish and snook. And then off the Matt Lachey Bridge itself, been sheep's head, a few snook, some mangrove snapper, oddball redfish, oddball black drum. What else did D tell me they've been catching down there? Some juvenile tarpon down there towards the Indian Fields in the Cape Coral Canal. She said a lot of guys have been talking about seeing a lot of the juvenile tarpon in their canals down there. So... I get most of my fishing reports from our one shrimper that we get our shrimp from. She's based right there in the Matt Lachey area, so she's pretty accurate with it.
All this talk of these juvenile tarpon are getting me excited. I'm starting to feel like that bobber up there.
Right. It's pretty cool. A lot of guys have been doing well on juvenile tarpon this last 10 days.
Yeah, I need to... You and I need to go out there and just see if we can get us a couple.
You got to come up here and go up the river.
I'll drive up here. Ain't no biggie.
It's a long run for you.
Well, you got a boat now. Just use yours.
Okay.
Let's go. I'd love to get a juvenile.
They're fun.
I mean, the big boys are a lot of fun, especially during season, because that's what everybody wants. But as a fisherman, I'd much rather have them 15 to 30 pounders.
If I was a tourist, I want the big ones.
Yep.
But once I've done it a few times, I want to go back to the smaller ones.
Yeah.
I want them all.
Yeah.
I just want them all.
Want them all.
Big or small, I'm good.
There's something about hooking a 20-pounder on a redfish rod.
I keep thinking of that old joke.
Frank's going with that. I saw that.
No.
A little chuckle. He's leaving to go. It's G-rated. At least PG-rated.
We're trying to keep the show as a family-friendly show here. Pine Island Sound.
What do you got down there, Mike?
Nothing. I haven't been down that way in so long.
No reports you heard of?
Anything,
no.
Robert?
Snook, redfish, all down there towards the shacks, along with a lot of trout out there on those deeper sand holes and potholes, along with a few bonnet heads, black tips, and even a few Spanish mackerel mixed in with it. So it's just kind of a mixed barrage. It hasn't been hot and heavy, but it's been decent. And the water is super clear from what I'm hearing from several people. You know, this is like that cool time of year.
Yeah. I love that area, and I do not fish it ever anymore. I used to fish down there at least one day a week. I have not been on that side, except for tarpon fishing, and that you know what I'm talking about, one little area. But I haven't actually been over in Pine Island Sound in probably 2 years, which is sad because it's such a beautiful place.
Okay, Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla?
Boquilla, I've got reports that nothing for Jug Creek. Boquilla's okay. Got some sheep's head all on the shoreline and off the Boquilla Pier. Been a lot of snook moving along the pier and along the shoreline. Handful of trout, a couple of small redfish, and some Spanish mackerel way out in the open there around those two big sandbar islands that are out in front.
Now, what was out there?
Spanish mackerel.
Okay.
Couple of bonnet head sharks also mixed in out there too. It's been decent. One guy caught, he took a small ladyfish that he had caught and dropped it down underneath the dock there at the Boquilla Pier and had like a 40 plus inch snook come up and just rail him. He had it on for a while and he's watching. He said it was the biggest snook he's ever personally caught, hooked.
Right.
But he said it was had to be over 40 inches because his biggest personal best was like 36 or 37. I forget what he said on that, but he said this one dwarfed it.
Nice.
And he didn't expect anything because it was the middle of the day. He just said, no, I'm going to drop this ladyfish down, and that's what happened.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Burnt store, two pines?
I've got nothing again down there, unfortunately.
Mike?
I did hear, I have a person over there who keeps wanting me to go out on their boat. He said that there's a lot of baby tarpon rolling in his canal system over there.
And Bergstor?
Yeah, and Bergstor.
Yeah, I've got nothing, unfortunately, down in that whole area.
Yeah, he just keeps asking me how to catch him. I told him. I don't know if he listened to me or not, but I told him my best bet for his fat. Little DOA terrorize.
Yeah, either the real small one or the normal size. Okay. East side of the harbor?
East side's got a lot of snook, hodgepodge of redfish of assorted sizes around the islands and back in some of those little creeks and stuff. And then I'm getting some good reports of bonnet head sharks and cobia and big jacks on the outside of the bar. And big jacks, 10 to 20 pounders.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, consistently.
That's worth a run right there.
Yeah, even if you're just out cruising the bar looking for cobia, keep your eyes out, and I'd be trolling a small, shallow running plug behind you because, I mean, you get into those jacks, and there's nothing more entertaining than that.
20-pound yellowtail? My God. That's like catching a 40-pound tarpon, personally.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would truly enjoy catching a 20-pound jack.
Yeah. I actually had a guy last year mount a 20-pounder we caught shark fishing. It ate a whole ladyfish.
Yeah.
And the guy, he fought it, and he was like, I got him out. It's the best fight I ever had in his life.
Nice.
Like, let's do it.
All right. Alligator Creek.
Not much on the outside. I've heard of a couple reports of a few trout right there at the mouth, along with a couple pompano slash permit, but the majority of what I've been hearing has been way inside towards the Burnt Store Isles canals. Juvenile tarpon, snook, black drum, some mangrove snapper, a few sheep's head, just a good mixed gamut of stuff up inside there in that Burnt Store Isles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then those juvenile tarpon have been rolling everywhere in there. And they're all catching, big jacks too. I forgot about them because the same thing. And they're catching all the big jacks and their snook on top waters again over in there. It's been a really cool top water bite the last week and a half. I mean, we've sold a lot of top water.
Yeah.
Mirror lure top dogs, A lot of those Rapalas, both styles.
Yeah, the Skidder Walk, Skidder V.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, folks, if you've never caught a fish on top water, you got to try it.
I want to try trolling that Berkeley bait with the back prop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to try trolling that. I think that's going to be a bomb topwater troller because it actually kind of like a buzz bait.
Right.
And so you could actually troll that where most topwaters, they're really not good to troll. It's, you're not going to get anything on them. But that one, I really think that Berkeley bait's going to be good on trolling. I just haven't tried it yet, but my instincts are telling me, which means 50-50 shot at best. Ponce de Leon, Hermit.
Hermit and Pompano?
No, it was absolutely a permit.
Was it?
Yeah, there was me and Terry and Carl in the boat and a guy from the TV show, and there's a guy landing a really nice permit. I would say closer to 20 than 10 inches.
Right.
Nice pompano, or permit rather. It was absolutely a permit.
Nice. I've heard of a couple of trout right out front there on the sand flat between there and the Peace River Wildlife Refuge. There've been a couple of bonnethead sharks in that same out there on that beach side.
What was that now?
Bonnetheads and okay. A couple trout. Some black drum inside the canal right there. Some jacks and a handful of snook. All the mangrove snapper have been little tiny guys. Nothing really to speak of. But at least it's a few different reports.
Yeah.
You know, for a while there, we weren't getting a whole lot of reports in ponds. It's been super weird this year.
PGI canals.
PGI canals, big jacks, lots of juvenile tarpon. Snooker still doing pretty well. Mangrove snapper bites been mediocre at best, but guys are still catching them. A couple of bigger sheep's head being caught in there, along with the black drum.
And the black drum are a lot of fun.
But they've been assorted sizes in there. I mean, I've been hearing of 2 pounders all the way up to 30 pounders.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of cool because usually most of the reports we get inside PGI are all the big black drum.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because they don't want to brag about their smaller black drum or they're just, you know, whatever it is. So to hear a couple reports on the smaller guys is always a good thing.
What months do they always like kind of gang up out in the middle of the harbor? Is that like July and August or August, September?
March.
March?
Well, March,
we
April,
actually can get them a couple.
May.
It could be spring, it could be fall. When the big schools come through,
yeah,
there's literally a couple runs of that because I was trying to track what month would be best out there, and it's literally, I think, a temperature issue more than anything. I don't really know that it's a time of year issue. And I would say normally late spring to early fall is when they're going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that out of there, Robert?
No, that's fairly accurate. It seems like it's more consistent in the late spring, though. The early fall run is always, it's either they're there and people are seeing them, or maybe they're there and people aren't seeing them, because in the late fall, the water's usually so dark, I think they maybe get overlooked quite often. They're probably there more consistently than we think.
All right, Gilchrist Pier.
Crickets.
Actually, some jacks and whiting. I'm talking to a guy fishing up here the other day, and he had a school of jacks come by, and he was out there, and he caught some nice whiting off of there. Not a lot, but a couple of them nice ones.
I think it's the pickleball players. They're just chasing all the fish away. Did you see that on the news the other day?
No.
All the neighborhoods raising all sorts of cane about the pickleballs making too much noise in their neighborhood, so they're fighting to get something done about it.
The pickleballs?
It's like, really? The tennis courts have been there as long as most of those houses have been there, and all of a sudden
longer.
They're complaining about it.
We had a guy out in our neighborhood who moved in, the old neighbor I used to live in up here, moves in and buys a house next to a school.
Yeah.
And then complains.
And complains.
We've
about.
Had guys who, people, who, not guys, but people who buy houses next to a park and then complain because there's people in the park.
Yeah.
They bought the house because they wanted the view of the park with the playgrounds and all that. It's real pretty and everything. And then go nuts because people are using them.
Right.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, when I bought it and looked at it, there wasn't a soul here, so I thought it just was abandoned. I thought,
right?
I'd be able to just enjoy this serenity all to myself.
I get this massive front yard that somebody else mows, and I just don't want anybody else in it. Alligator Creek Reef.
Some of those big jacks have been on the reef. And then there's also been a handful of cobia spotted and hooked, but most of those guys have been on the smaller side. And then there's been a little speckling of some sheep's head and mangrove snapper on it, but overall the bottom fishing's been fairly quiet. But the guys are at least trolling around and having a good time. Actually, I take that back. There was a couple Spanish mackerel also caught out there, too, while the guys were trolling around.
If you're out there just wanting to have a good time, that's a good place to look, especially if you want to sight fish for some cobia on occasion.
If you're just going by it, you should always troll something around that vicinity of it, because there's always something usually coming and going to it.
Yeah.
Okay, deep holes in the harbor?
A few oddball Spanish mackerel. Other than that, all the catfish and stingrays you want. It's been pretty quiet out there.
One after another.
Some glass minnows have been moving around out there, so it's the life could pick up at any given moment, but overall, no reports worthwhile.
Okay. I'm just going to take this bait reports out.
I think so.
I'm just, you know, they're here, they're there. I know I'm going to do the last one right now. There's white bait at Jug Creek, but it's so hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It moves around too much, and usually it's at that one spot or two spots, and that's it.
It's just been so hard to keep up on the bait reports. We tried to do the ladyfish and the pinfish and the whitebait and all that, but it's really so sporadic, and the guys are finally getting secretive about it.
Yeah.
Where they're catching their bait.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost time I put this one into the history catalog, and then if things start getting a little more consistent, maybe we'll bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I can tell you where the ladyfish are. I've caught a whole lot of those this week.
Where would be some ladyfish?
Inside Bull Bay, in the middle shack, out in front of it. I've done very, very well there, with some trout. And Sandfly Key, in between Sandfly and the tailing flats there. I go over there and just cast away, and boom, get my bait for the day, and I'm good to go.
Okay. Freshwater fishing.
Well, let's see, the bass. All the males are sitting on beds right now because most of the females have spawned out. So there's a lot of those 2 to 4 pound fish sitting on beds. Guys are catching them on worms and lizards mostly, but shiner fishing has still been doing good for the sporadic post-spawn females. Some of the lone males that never got to make a bed. You know, and then I've had a couple guys catch some bowfin this week over there in Nine Mile Canal, which is kind of cool because it's been a long time since I heard of a bowfin up here.
The same thing as a mudfish or no?
Yeah.
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 I love that
same
fish.
Same critter.
I've only caught one in my life, but that was...
prehistoric, toothy little critter.
I'll tell you what, though. He wasn't all that big. He might have weighed 2.5-3 pounds. I thought I had a 10-pound bass on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They fight way harder. They're all tail.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a head with the body that just starts the tail, so they're all power and all swimming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with that fish. I'd love... And I only caught the one.
We were steady catching, 28 to 35-inch snook. I was on the other coast with a whole group of feds and people and all these other guys, and they were looking because I had this stack of fishing poles on the boat with all these lures, and I said, listen, I'm not going 2 hours up this creek to fix this problem and then not taking a few minutes to fish.
Right.
I said, I'm a private contractor. Now, you guys can either fish or not fish, whatever your federal rules or state rules allow you to do or not do. I said, but me, I'm a private citizen, just a contractor, so when we get up here, I'm going to get my job done, and then I'm fishing. And we're catching these snook after snook. And I finally got something, and it was just dragging me down. Bam, 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 bam. Finally, it went up in the shallows. Big bowfin, broke me off, lost my lure, and then I had to fight the other guys because I'm the only one who's bringing the blue, silver, orange lures, and I knew that's what they were going to hit.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything on crappie, bluegills, anything else?
Nothing. Super quiet on those.
Okay. Tarpon reports.
Juvenile tarpon, pretty much. That's about it. No adult tarpon. The juvenile tarpon are up in the Upper Peace River, the Upper Myakka River, Cape Coral canals and PGI canals and even some of the Port Charlotte canals. You know, like I said, those one guys saw a couple roll at the Sanibel Causeway, but they got nothing to cooperate at all, so there should be some at maybe the 41 Bridge or El Jobin, but I haven't heard really anything specific on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess that's about it for that. Down to final thoughts.
Final thoughts. The next several days, again, is looking pretty good, except for it's supposed to get a little breezy come Monday. Like a front kind of stalling out above us, so it's going to make it a little windy, but it's still supposed to be in the 80s, I think, all the way through.
Is it supposed to rain like Tuesday or Wednesday and Thursday or something like that?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Is it?
I think so.
I haven't heard of it. I honestly didn't watch the weather this morning. I'm out of touch with it.
I personally recommend people just, especially with that wind coming, wait till the afternoon to go fishing, and you can get into the backcountry a lot better because the tides are coming up still in the afternoon. You got a better shot at getting some decent fish. You know, and don't go out there with all these great big high hopes of I'm going to catch, you know, 30-inch redfish all day long. Just go out there and have fun and just catch what's available to you. Just, you know, don't overthink it. Just not quite yet.
Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday's looking like rain.
All right. Well, boys and girls, it's a actually not bad fishing out there. One of the things you got to kind of do is don't go, oh, look at all the boats. There's a lot of fish there. Because that's probably how there ended up being a lot of boats there. One guy was fishing and another guy saw him, so he stopped. Another guy saw him, they stopped. Look for the spot between all the other boats. If you've got a big group of boats up there and a big group of boats up there, chances are they have spooked the fish out of that area. So if they're like a half mile apart, go in the quarter mile mark between them. Chances are you're going to do better. It's about avoiding a bunch of other boats rather than using them as a goal place. That would be my best thought for that.
That's a good thought. I like it.
It's sad. The guide in me just wants everybody to go to the same reef and just stay there. It's just the guide part of me. But sorry. Probably right. Shouldn't have voiced that opinion.
Well, that's okay. You know, the one thing about doing shows like this is if you expect your, you know, people respect you more if you actually tell the truth. I mean, it's true. If you're just sitting here glitzing it out going, oh, you know, this is wonderful and that's this and this is that, how are they ever going to know the truth?
Right.
They can, literally, they could tune into the nightly news to get that kind of stuff. They tune into this because they may or may not like everything of our opinions, but they are our opinions. Yep. So, anyway, say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Say goodbye, Captain Mike Myers.
Goodbye, Captain Mike Myers.
What's the name of your charter thing?
Real Shark Charters.
What's your phone number?
941-416-8047.
941-416-8047.
Or you can go to Real Shark, R-E-E-L, like a fishing reel, shark.com.
Okay. And we're out of here, boys and girls. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.